Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Friday afternoon to each and every one of you, wherever you might be today out there in Stand in the Gap territory. We are certainly very, very thankful for the pleasure of your company. And along with David Kistler and James O'Brien, I'm Gary Dahl. And, of course, Sam Rohr is not on with us today, so Jim O'Brien has graciously agreed to come on with us. And, Jim, welcome as a co-host to Stand in the Gap today.
Well, Gary, it's a privilege to be with you guys from Maryland here.
Yeah, and of course, we've had you on as a guest a time or two, and of course, many times in the previous program that we put together called Freedom Focus, but we're delighted to have you with us today. Thank you for being there. And David, I'm guessing you are back from the beach?
You know, Gary, I am. I've been back actually for about 2 days.
Well, do you miss it?
You know what, Gary? The place where we stayed was located about 3/4 of a mile actually from a place called South Point or Oak Island. The two are kind of sit side by side. Beautiful section of the North Carolina shoreline. I do miss being there because it was so beautiful and it was also relaxing, but it's good to be back home and in the saddle and doing things in a routine. And of course, I know you gentlemen understand what I'm saying, but it was a delightful time, but I'm glad to be back at work.
Well, glad to have you back at work. A lot of things to talk about today, ladies and gentlemen, and of course, if you want to participate, you may call in. Our local number in the Philadelphia area is 610-539-8255. That's 610-539-8255. Our toll-free number is 1-877-667-1180. 1-877-667-1180. And, of course, I think we all know by now that at least three have died after a gunman opened fire in another theater last night in Lafayette, Louisiana. And I haven't heard if any others have died. I understand that there are a number of them who are in hospitals down around Lafayette that really, technically speaking, they're not doing too well medically. But this fella is a 58-year-old man who was the shooter. His name was John Russell Hauser. And, of course, from what we understand, he entered into the theater down there in Lafayette, Louisiana. And after about 20 minutes, he just started shooting people. And, Dave, what has come into the hearts and the minds of people? It just seems as though from the time of Columbine, these kind of things happen all too often today. Do you think they're copycats? Do you think that they're trying to make a statement? I mean, this fella even ended up killing himself. What do you think it is that motivates somebody to do this? I mean, it doesn't look like it's, as it were, an act of terror from ISIS or anything like that. I mean, we don't really know that at this particular point. But what motivates people to do such things, do you think?
Well, you know, Gary, I think some people are looking for their 15 minutes of fame, and they figure that this is a way that they can achieve that while at the same time perhaps making a statement that they want to make in some other area. But this gentleman seems to be a little bit of a unique kind of guy. You know, he was a drifter. It's the way he's been described. He had in his possession, or at least in his hotel room, he had a number of disguises, wigs, glasses, and drove a 20-year-old vehicle that the license tags had been switched on. So it was obvious that, you know, he went into that movie theater planning to do what he did, and he was evidently planning or at least attempting to get away and not be caught. And from what I've heard, Gary, whenever two police officers on the outside approached him, you know, after he had fired off 13 rounds inside the theater, he went back inside and evidently turned the gun on himself and took his life because he knew he was not going to escape. But he had planned to escape and get away with it. But what all of his motivations were specifically, I'm not sure. But Gary, I will say this. The scripture talks in 2 Thessalonians 2 about their coming on the scene in the end time, an individual identified as the Antichrist. And one of the phrases the Bible uses to describe him is the lawless one. The wicked one is the phrase used in the King James Version in 2 Thessalonians 2. The word wicked means lawless. So as we approach the end time, there's going to be, in preparation for the lawless one, the Antichrist, the Bible indicates there's going to be a ratcheting up of lawlessness. And I think what we're seeing, Gary, is just a fulfillment of that prophecy. People becoming more and more lawless. And if there is no anchor to their life, there is no truth biblically. The more we divorce our culture from the truth of the scriptures, the more people are going to become lawless. So I think, generally speaking, that's what's causing it. And then individuals have something they want to advance, and so they perpetrate these horrific acts of terror. It's very, very tragic.
Well, it is very, very tragic, and certainly, you know, we need to pray for the folks, family members who are down there, and others who are particularly in the hospital. And, you know, just pray that that those who have been shot and who are not doing too well will be healed and get up out of that hospital and about their activities. It's a sad thing, though, to see that these things happen. Jim, I understand you're going to be with us here in a couple of weeks, actually a little over a week from now, because...
Yes, Gary, that's correct.
We're going to be having what is referred to as the 96th Annual Central Pennsylvania Bible Conference. And that's not necessarily a part of the APN ministry, but we have a lot of listeners in the state of Pennsylvania, and they are invited to come to Altoona. Our speakers will be Evangelist Ron Susak, Evangelist Dave Kistler, his brother Dan Kistler. Our missionary speaker will be Dr. Paul McAuliffe, who is the founder of Aviation Missions Incorporated. And I understand you're leading this conference. Why don't you give us a few words about it?
Well, I'd be happy to do that, Gary. We've been doing this, as the number indicates, for this is our 96th annual. And it started off with some very well-known evangelists and Bible teachers and authors of various Bible commentaries. Some of these folks, I'm sure our listeners recognize, like... Mr. Ironsides, who's written commentaries on virtually every book of the Bible, and other people that have written translations of the scriptures and so on. So it's kept this heritage over the years, and it's continuing to be held in Altoona, Pennsylvania. And it'll be at a place which maybe sounds a little strange to some people. It's going to be held at the casino. Now, that's not a gambling casino. Mm-hmm. That's a building that people use just to gather. It's like a meeting place. Mm-hmm. And that's where we're going to be enjoying not just great preaching, but also great music. Diane Susak, who's then nationally known, beautiful voice. She'll be singing. We also have a guest violinist and a guest flutist or flautist, depending on whether you're a professional flautist or not. Most people call it flutist. We also have Dave Kistler's wife at the keyboard, and Dan Kistler will be there also preaching on the last evening. And so we've got a lot of things. In fact, I don't want to leave out the fact that this year, for the first time in a long time anyway, we're going to be also including the youth, a special emphasis on the youth. We want to make sure that the conference has a future. So we're trying to emphasize the fact that we're not just reaching adults, we're also reaching young people. In fact, the children's choir is going to start us off on Sunday evening, so it's going to be a tremendous time.
It'll be great, Jim. We're up against a hard break, so we've got to take that break, and that will be on August the 2nd to the 7th. And go to WOTM.org, and you'll be able to, WOTBM.org, I'm sorry, you'll be able to learn more about it. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we will talk somewhat about what's going on with national security issues in Washington, D.C. You will not want to miss it. We will be back with more right after these messages.
This is Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, and I'm thrilled to announce that BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, has come alongside APN as a national sponsor of Stand in the Gap Today. Together, we share a commitment to further a true biblical worldview and to follow Jesus' command to be salt and light to the culture. BJU Press provides academically sound educational materials designed to fully equip children for college and the workplace. As postmodern culture seeks to eliminate God from the classroom, BJU Press integrates biblical truth into curricula that's accurate, dependable, and exceeds all national academic standards. APN welcomes BJU Press as a national partner and sponsor of Stand in the Gap today. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. Again, we at APM welcomes BJU Press as a national partner as together we work to instill Christian values in the generations to follow.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
Tennessee became the first state to be readmitted back into the Union after the Civil War on this day, July 24, 1866. In a proclamation of amnesty and pardon, President Andrew Johnson declared, "Every person who shall seek to avail himself of this proclamation shall take the following oath, namely, I do solemnly swear in the presence of Almighty God that I will henceforth faithfully support, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States and abide by all laws and proclamations which have been made during the late rebellion with reference to the emancipation of slaves. So help me God."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? But the only part we're reading in eighth grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, "we the people," didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country is the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and on behalf of David Kistler and guest host Jim O'Brien, I'm Gary Dahl, and thank you very much for remaining there by the radio or the computer, however you are listening. Our phone number here is 610-539-8255, or the toll-free number is 1-877-667-1180 if you would like to call in and participate in today's program. We want to make a switch here and talk a little bit about national security matters as it relates particularly to the Iranian situation. Yesterday, Secretary of State John Kerry really found himself on the defensive at a Senate hearing where he was very hard-pressed to find support for the Iran nuclear deal from either side of the aisle. As a matter of fact, he sharply sparred with the Republicans who accused him of being fleeced and bamboozled. We talked a little bit about that yesterday as the news was breaking on that particular matter. And the Senate Foreign Relations Committee hearing was the first on the controversial deal to lift economic and other sanctions in exchange for concessions of the Islamic State's nuclear program. And, of course, with Congress taking up the deal and expected to vote on it sometime in September, the hearing underscored the deep resistance for the Obama administration that the administration is going to face from both sides of the aisle as discussion on this particular deal continues. As a matter of fact, from what we've been able to gather, critics repeatedly suggested that the Obama administration's negotiating team gave in to pressure on a number of different points as it relates to this particular deal. For instance, they question whether the sanctions indeed can be reinstated once they've been lifted. They also wonder whether Iran might be able to stall international inspectors who want to come in and inspect the various locations. And then another one of their concerns is they wonder whether Iran might be closer to a weapon once the deal expires. And, of course, these discussions, they've just been going back and forth and back and forth and will continue to do so for quite some time. John Kerry was very, very much offended, I believe, because he said at one particular point yesterday that it's fantasy, plain and simple, to think the United States failed to hold out for a better deal at the bargaining table. In fact, he went on to say, and I quote, "Let me underscore, the alternative to the deal we've reached isn't what I've seen on some television ads suggesting this ingenuously." He said it isn't a, quote, "better deal." Some sort of unicorn arrangement involving Iran's complete capitulation. And so he's really standing firm on this. It was interesting to note that Energy Secretary Ernest Moniz said that this particular deal is not built on trust, and we know that's the case. And it's very, very concerning. And Jim O'Brien, you have been involved with national security for many, many years. I'm just wondering what your comments are on this particular deal, this particular agreement. It's not even a treaty. But I'm just wondering what your comments are on this as it is continuing to develop there in Washington.
Well, Gary, if you remember, the president's team promised that they were going to give full disclosure. Okay, full disclosure. But now we find out that there's two side deals that have been made with the IAEA, which we have never seen. And evidently the Congress has not seen. In fact, they didn't even know they existed. So here we are in a situation where the president has already lied, but he still wants us to trust them. The Iranians, I don't think we recognize what a threat they are. I mean, this country is four times the size of California. It's huge. You know, we had enough difficulty in Iraq, which is one quarter the size also of Iran. You know, when I was up at graduate school at MIT, I can remember how many huge number of Iranian students were up there studying all sorts of engineering, electrical engineering, nuclear engineering, mechanical engineering. Now those students are back in Iran doing the kinds of things that we're suspecting them of doing. That's my own feeling on this. Now, you also recall that some 30 years ago, the Iranians sunk the USS Stark. They shot some French missiles at it, the Exocet missiles. And so they had that capability of sinking ships way back 30 years ago. Think of what they've got now. They sunk the USS Stark. And then, of course, a year or so later, The U.S. Shot down an Iranian passenger jet, thinking that maybe it was an Iranian jet. So there's a chance of making mistakes over there. And so I'm just concerned about the fact that we're trying to sign up for a deal here that is going to basically, we're going to regret, as Netanyahu said some time ago, for the rest of our lives.
Well, do you think that Congress will support this?
Well, here's the problem as I see it, unless I'm not clear on this. According to what Secretary Kerry said, the Congress can sort of talk all they want and have some kind of a chowder society discussion, but it's already a done deal in his mind anyway. I think the Congress ought to declare this is a treaty and that the Constitution gives the Congress the determination to sign treaties or not to sign treaties. I think that the leadership needs to have some backbone and not just simply roll over. This is nuclear weapons. Look what two nuclear weapons did with Nagasaki and Hiroshima. It ended the war. Think of what these folks could do with 10, and that's what they're saying they could build.
Hmm. And you know, Dave, we really don't know, but that they might even have a nuclear weapon hidden under the ground somewhere over there already, you know?
Well, you know, Gary, the fact of the matter is we don't only not know that. We don't know what's in these side deals. We don't know what other side deals between Iran and the IAEA might exist. So there's so much open-endedness to this quote-unquote deal that I am beyond uncomfortable with it. And I think what Brother Jim said is one of two ways this thing could be stopped. And that is, number one, have enough backbone. And that is, I'm speaking of those in Congress and specifically the Senate, would have enough backbone to declare this thing a treaty, which requires a two-thirds vote of the Senate for it to be ratified. Or it could be defeated another way. And that is Congress voting against it or expressing their complete disapproval of it, voting against it. Of course, the president said he would veto any such thing, which will again require a two-thirds vote to override the president's veto. So it could be defeated two ways, either declared as a treaty or a two-thirds overriding vote of the president's veto. But either way, it needs to be stopped. Our Congress needs to step up and realize that they have been rendered irrelevant by this administration. Why in the world would Congress want to surrender their authority to an out-of-control executive? Gary, I don't understand that, but that is exactly what the president is doing. This is a bad deal all the way around.
And Gary, if I could just insert also, there is a third option, and it could happen. And that's the Israelis do a preemptive strike, okay? And they've done it before, they did it in Iraq, and they could do it again because their little nation of the size of New Jersey cannot afford to have a nuclear weapon sitting there. You know, we sort of comfort ourselves by saying, well, Iraq hates Iran, Iran hates Iraq, you know, the Sunnis and the Shias. But, you know, there's another saying over in the Middle East that is, an enemy of my enemy is my friend. And I think when it comes to Israel, they're going to pull together and make this happen. You know, and so I wouldn't doubt it at all if we see a preemptive strike if this thing goes any farther.
Dave, I thought, were you going to say something?
Well, what I was going to say, Gary, is this. I agree with Jim. I don't think there's any question but what the common enemy of both Iran and Iraq, the common enemy they have is America, the United States, and Israel. So this idea that they're enemies of each other and they're going to balance each other out and keep each other in check is a ludicrous argument. They both despise the United States and Israel. And I also agree with Jim. I think from having just returned from Israel, you could sense it over there, as I said the other day. They will act preemptively if this thing goes any further, certainly if this deal is not stopped by Congress. I see nothing else other than a preemptive strike by the nation of Israel.
We do want to just make a little bit of a correction there, Jim. It was the Iraqi missiles that struck the USS Stark, not the Iran missiles. That was just fact-checked.
Right. I'm sorry. Iraqi, yes, right. But the Exocet is also owned by Iran as well.
Yeah. But, you know, it's a dangerous situation. And we're running out of time before a hard break here, Jim. But, you know, we talked a little bit about this yesterday. I believe that John Kerry was bamboozled. I believe that he was fleeced. And, you know, he's been around the Senate for so many, many years. Why do you think that he has been so easily led astray by the administration to go along with this agreement?
I think it's a mindset. There's a liberal mindset that basically says that the United States is the bully and we need to make things right. And the way to do that is to be kind and gentle and everybody else will trust us. Okay. And the Muslim mindset, if you read their religious literature, it is in there. It's possible for them to lie as long as the end comes out okay. And I think this agreement is simply a means to an end.
Well, there's no doubt it is. And, of course, you know, it's even been stated on several occasions that this particular agreement is not built on trust. And the fact of the matter is we cannot trust the Iranians. There is no doubt about that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to take another break, and we invite you to stay tuned. We will be back with more right after this.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. The man who shot 11 people at a Lafayette, Louisiana movie theater last night, John Houser, suffered from mental illness and had a family protection order against him in 2008. He killed 2 people, wounding 9 before killing himself. Louisiana State Police Colonel Mike Edmondson says there are a lot of questions.
Why'd he walk in that theater? Why'd he fire at least 13 times? Why'd he turn around and go back in there? Why'd he leave his car outside with the keys on top of a tire? Why was he living in a Motel 8? Why did he have wigs in there and glasses and all those types of things?
It's believed Houser originally planned to get away.
25 tickets had been sold for the particular movie that the shooter was in.
It's the comedy Trainwreck. A sentencing hearing for the Colorado movie shooter James Holmes is postponed with a sick juror. He could get the death penalty for killing 12 people 3 years ago. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Freedom is not a gift bestowed upon us by other men, but a right that belongs to us by the laws of God and nature. A quote from Benjamin Franklin.
Stand in the Gap Weekend with Sam Rohr and Gary Dull of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network features a message from one of the nearly 3,000 church leaders that are members of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network. The mission is to build a permanent network of pastors across the state that are dedicated to affirming the authority of Scripture and taking seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Every day, we're working to impact the nation's values by encouraging pastors to lead their churches in addressing today's toughest issues, including the deterioration of traditional marriage, pornography, sexual permissiveness, and abortion. You're invited to join us in the battle for truth.
Airing Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. and streaming Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. on our website, 1180wfyl.com.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom, shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station, WFYL.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and on behalf of David Kistler and Jim O'Brien, I'm Gary Dull. Sam Rohr is away on assignment today, and so you might want to be praying for him. He's doing fine. He's just keeping himself busy otherwise. So you will no doubt want to be praying for him. You know, Dave and Jim, it just seems like every day anymore here in the United States of America, we find that there are issues of national security before us. We just talked about this situation with the Iranian agreement, which is a major national security issue. One of the other matters that seemingly is becoming very, very concerning to most of us in this nation, and of course a number of lawmakers, is this sanctuary city situation that I want to talk about for a few moments in later on in the program. But before I get into that, Jim, you've been involved with national security down through the years. When you see these potential national security breaches and issues develop, it must cause you to shiver inside. I mean, why do you think there are so many issues that concern national security today that could ultimately bring down our nation? Have you ever seen a time in our history when we've been up against things like this, so many things like this that just seemingly come our way every day? Well, somehow, ladies and gentlemen, we must have lost Jim there. And are you back with us, Jim?
Yes, sir, I am.
Did you hear my question?
Some kind of an interference here.
Okay. I was talking about the fact that it seems like so often we find that there are new national security issues that come our way every day. We've talked about the matter with the Iranian agreement. We're going to talk a little bit about sanctuary cities in a moment. But as an individual who has been involved with security, national security down through the years, you must be greatly concerned by what we're seeing taking place in our nation today concerning these various national security issues that just come up almost on a daily basis.
Absolutely. I can remember when I started in the Pentagon back in 1986, I could walk in and didn't have to show any identification, go to my office freely and walk around and then leave whenever I wanted to. But, of course, now as I go down, I'm not working at the Pentagon anymore, but I still am doing national security. I still have to go through the script. I have my special ID. It takes a lot of time. So there's an awful lot of security that's been put in place. But even that doesn't really, because we have cybersecurity, which is a big, big deal. With the Internet, so it's a wonderful thing, but also with the Internet, it's a terrible thing because, the Chinese are getting into our databases, and I'm concerned not just about losing my identity as far as people getting into my personal stuff, but I'm concerned about remotely controlling our energy grid, our national power grid as far as being able to communicate with our armed forces. I'm worried about distribution with regard to oil and natural gas, and of course the FAA and all the business of controlling the skies, plus the proliferation of man-portable air defense missiles. Virtually every nation on Earth now, with the exception of about two, that was a map I saw not long ago, have these missiles, and you can carry them around in response. And plus, lasers against aircraft. All kinds of things are happening that are just complicating our defense, and I just don't see a commitment by this administration to really address the issue. While our budget's going down as far as defense as a percentage of GDP, I see the other side in GDP.
Yeah, Jim, we're having a hard time picking you up, Jim, for some reason. I don't know. You may want to hang up and give us another connection there. Try it again. We'd appreciate that very much. You're sort of spotty there a little bit, so if you do that, I'd appreciate that. But, Dave, we realize these sanctuary cities that are located various places across this country present a national security to us issue to us as well. And, yesterday the House approved legislation to punish the so-called sanctuary cities for failing to cooperate with federal immigration authorities. And, the bill was actually sponsored by Duncan Hunter of California. And the bill would actually penalize jurisdictions that bar the collection of immigration information or do not cooperate with federal detainer requests. by blocking them from receiving certain federal law enforcement grants and funding. Of course, this particular bill passed by the measure of 241-179, and the Senate is considering a similar legislation. House Judiciary Committee said, and I quote, the Judiciary Committee chairman said, and I quote, sanctuary city policies needlessly endanger American lives by refusing to honor the federal government's authority to enforce immigration laws. He went on to say, and I quote, unfortunately, the Obama administration's own foolish policies enable rogue local governments to defy federal immigration laws. All too often, these reckless policies create preventable tragedies. And, you know, even though this is being discussed in the House and the Senate, Dave, we're back to the fact that this legislation already faces a White House veto threat. I'm sure that brings great concern to you as it does to me.
Well, Gary, it does. I don't understand what could possibly motivate the White House to not want to rein in the nature of these sanctuary cities and make sure that they do not continue to do what they've been doing. In fact, you know, Gary, there's been some discussion on the part of some within the Christian community. You know, what's wrong with these sanctuary cities? Because they are the modern day equivalent of what existed in Old Testament times of cities called cities of refuge. Mm. Gary, they are nothing alike. Nothing alike whatsoever. There were six cities of refuge in the Old Testament. Those cities were Kadesh, Shechem, Hebron, Bezer, Romath, and Golan. And if somebody had inadvertently killed someone else, that is, an unintentional death had occurred, an accidental death had occurred, then the person could flee to one of these cities of refuge, and he was safe there from the family member of the victim who had died, who could pursue that person and take their life. But the city of refuge protected them until a trial could occur, and it could be determined whether or not the person committed the crime deliberately or accidentally. If they had committed something accidentally, a death had occurred accidentally, then they would stay in that sanctuary city until the high priest died. After that, they could return to their own home. But to draw a parallel, to draw equivalence between the cities of refuge in the Old Testament, the sanctuary cities, Gary, is totally incorrect, because the sanctuary cities of today are not seeking to bring anybody to trial. They're not seeking to try to bring justice to any of these criminals. They're just becoming places where illegals and criminals are hanging out, and nothing is ever being done as far as justice being pursued with them. So it needs to end. This practice of sanctuary cities needs to come to an end. Why the White House is fighting it, I can only say is for political reasons, because they think it's going to garner them more votes to not deal with these things. But, Gary, they need to for national security's sake.
And, Jim, you've been involved with national security issues for many, many years. You know, what really, in your opinion, is the background and the motivation for these types of cities by those who are on the liberal side of the aisle?
Well, I think it's basically to give them another chance to show how kind we can be. If we're nice to them, nice to people, they're going to behave better. And that, I think, is contrary to Scripture. It tells us from the very beginning to, in fact, the Scripture says that we should discipline our children, spank their children. Now, I'm not saying injure them, but spank them. You need to discipline them. And these people have grown up now in a culture where if you spank your children, you'll be turned in at the your public school. Your kid will turn you in, or you'll be arrested for child abuse or something. Now, I'm not saying that people should injure their children, but it starts in the home, and of course, the homes are falling apart. You know, we were talking earlier about lawlessness. I mean, I live right near Baltimore here, and the number of murders this year is virtually double what it was last year. Double. And so things are getting worse. Lawlessness is on the increase. It's almost becoming a way of life.
And so what you're saying basically is the idea of the sanctuary city is something that contributes to the lawlessness of our society.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct.
David,
you know what's interesting also real quickly, the sanctuary city concept, when the high priest died in these particular areas, the people were released. This was considered atonement for the sin of the people that were being protected. which I think is a sort of a precursor to the fact that Jesus Christ came to pay for all of man's sins. And I thought it's a beautiful picture of what Christ did.
Mm. Well, as Dave said, there's a great big difference between the cities of refuge in the Old Testament and the sanctuary cities today. The cities of refuge of the Old Testament operated under God's law. The sanctuary cities that we have today operate under a lawless situation, and there's a big difference between the two. We are going to take a break, ladies and gentlemen, and then we will be back with the final section, the final segment of Stand in the Gap Today, right after this these breaks, and right after these messages. So stay tuned.
Dishonest money dwindles away, but he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. But have you ever stopped to ask how much is enough or how much is too much? Will the money you leave to your family come between them and God? Have you ever said, I am rich, I've acquired wealth, I don't need a thing? I believe that God increases our wealth not to increase our standard of living, but to increase our standard of giving. This is Roy Russell, president of the Life Financial Group, a Christian wealth advisory firm. We work with believers and especially widows to wisely manage the wealth and efficiently pass it on to the children and grandchildren. We are financial, tax, and estate planners. We help successful Christians make wise decisions with their money so they can better provide for their families and leave a legacy of significance. Please call me with your questions or to discuss your needs and desires at 800-688-5800. That's 1-800-688-5800 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. Candidates and politicians are fond of saying that our children are our future, only to then proceed to saddle them with unimaginable debt, thanks to out-of-control spending and massive government waste. I wish I had an instant solution for that, but I don't. But here at Pennsylvania Family Institute, we take seriously our commitment to the next generation, and one way we show it is with our City on the Hill Youth Leadership and Worldview Camp, held the last full week of July each summer. It's a life-changing week that helps teens discover and guide their God-given leadership skills for their own good and for the benefit of others. This year, we've got our best lineup of speakers ever, and we still have space for a few more high school teens to come. So don't let your high schooler miss it. For details, go to pafamily.org or call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1. That's 1-800-FAMILY-1.
Even in evil cultures led by arrogant and haughty rulers, take heart, because God gets the last laugh. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. Though nations seek to establish governments without God, truth, and moral restraint, though evil rulers conspire against God and persecute his people because they remind them of their sin, we should not fret. The King of Kings sits in the heavens and laughs at their futile actions. He scoffs at their puny efforts to challenge his authority. And one day, he'll terrify them in his wrath. He'll rebuke them in righteous anger and in deep displeasure will say to them, I've given you my son, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. Kiss him now and serve him with fear and humble submission, or you will perish, for I've authorized him to break you in pieces with a rod of iron. I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network, agreeing with God, the choice in life is clear. Reject Jesus Christ and perish, or trust him and be blessed.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We've been talking a lot about national security issues today, and something else that is developing that we will be keeping our eyes on is the idea that the inspectors general for the State Department and the intelligence community reportedly have asked the Justice Department to open a criminal investigation into whether Hillary Clinton mishandled classified information by using a personal email account while she was the Secretary of State. Now, according to the New York Times, an initial joint memorandum dated June the 29th and sent to State Department Undersecretary for Management Patrick Kennedy said that the review of Clinton's email archive contains hundreds of potentially classified emails. Hundreds of potentially classified emails. Now, Clinton, of course, has basically denied sending or receiving any classified information on her personal account. However, the inspectors general wrote in a second memorandum last week that at least one of Clinton's emails that had been made public by the State Department contained very, very sensitive information. And, Dave, I think this is going to, they're going to dig into this more and more. And, you know, it doesn't concern me so much that this may be something that will bring Hillary Clinton down. To be honest with you, that would be nice if it did, I suppose. But how, you know, when we see what Hillary Clinton did with her own emails in her own account, do you think that that shows that she lacks the understanding, the integrity, and the character, even to be the commander-in-chief? I mean, we would never know what she might do.
Well, Gary, one of two things is going on. Either she's incredibly inept, which is obviously not what I think she is, or she is incredibly deceptive. And either one of those two, Gary, would be a disqualifier in my estimation and should be a disqualifier in anybody's estimation from her serving in the highest office in the land. The fact of the matter is this, Gary, what she has done by having her own private, not just email account, but her own private server kept in her home in Chappaqua, New York. Gary, anybody else that had done that and tried that would be under the jail and they'd never get out. But for some reason, because it's Hillary Clinton, she seemingly would. If the media gets a pass on it, I doubt seriously. I pray I'm wrong. I would love to be wrong on this, but I doubt seriously if the Department of Justice is going to actively pursue this. They should. And the solicitors general doing what they're doing and basically not demanding, but almost demanding that the DOJ pursue this is going to be difficult to ignore. But the fact of the matter of this, Gary, the fact of the matter is this. She had something to hide. She was doing something very, very inappropriate, very, very dangerous to national security by doing what she did. And she does need to face the music on it. She absolutely must.
Well, she absolutely must. And Jim O'Brien, working around security there in Washington, D.C., have you heard any scuttlebutt, as it were, concerning what those in the area of security and the intelligence community think about Hillary Clinton?
Well, it depends on whether you're talking to the folks who are political appointees, and they're not going to say anything unless they risk their jobs. It seems like it's sort of, well, this is excuse it. I don't believe that the Department of Justice is the one that should get involved in this because it's part of the administration. They need a special prosecutor, an independent that will be able to determine whether she has violated the law or not. Otherwise, I think we're just going to get more pablum back from the investigation.
Well, you know, that I'm certain that that is probably what's going to be taking place. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be very, very concerned about our nation right now. I mean, you know, whether it's Hillary Clinton doing some of the shenanigans she's done, or the whole matter of the sanctuary cities, or even Islam, you know, we just can't trust people anymore. And we need to be looking for men and women who are going to be men and women of integrity. And, you know, talking about trust, Dave, to reflect back a little bit upon the Iranian situation, you know, when it comes to trusting Muslims, that's something that should have been thrown out with the baby and the bathwater a long time ago.
Well, you know, Gary, Jim alluded to this back in one of the prior segments, and it's a point that he made and made well, and that is this. We have put a lot of confidence in the country of Iran, which is an Islamic country, and yet, as Jim noted, they practice a thing. It's actually the formal term is taqiyya, T-A-Q-I-Y-Y-A, T-A-Q-I-Y-Y-A. Taqiyya is the practice whereby Muslims are encouraged and allowed by Islamic law to lie to non-believers if the lie will advance the cause of Islam. And it is done, Gary, for the purpose of gaining the trust of non-believers in order to draw out their vulnerability and then ultimately defeat them. So as you look at this Iranian nuclear deal, is this exactly what they are doing? Have they lied to us? Have they taking advantage of our vulnerability, and they're ultimately going to use it to try to defeat us? Gary, I believe unequivocally that's exactly what they've done. And we have dined with the devil, if I can word it that way. And that is a very dangerous dinner to sit down at.
Well, we ended the program with that last time, I think. Jim, you have something you want to say there?
Well, Gary, I agree exactly with what Dave is saying. And I don't think we should be coming into agreements unless we can verify also. And that way the trust maybe has a little lower threshold because we can actually see it with our eyes. But I just don't feel that this is acceptable. Now, I've got one final thought, by the way, on the shooting down in Louisiana, I believe it is. This could be a copycat because right now the Holmes trial is on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe this man was sitting in the Motel 6 watching TV thinking, you know what? I'd like to do that. Because this is exactly what Holmes did.
Well, you know, that very well could be that that's a copycat situation. And, of course, you know, he ended up, Mr. Hauser ended up taking his own life. I don't know if that was pre-planned or not. I mean, it seems as though, from what I'm able to gather, that he wanted to go outside of the theater and continue to shoot others, Dave. I don't know what your thoughts might be on that, but he ended up killing himself when he saw that the police were after him.
Well, Gary, that's what it appears to be, but I'm assuming in the days ahead, as more information is garnered from the investigation, we'll know. But it certainly could be, as Jim said, a copycat situation. But his preparation, all of these disguises and things that he had would lead one to believe that maybe it was not a spur-of-the-moment copycat-type thing, but it was something maybe a little more planned. But bottom line is, who knows?
Well, stay informed, ladies and gentlemen. I so often tell people, particularly the young people, that what we need to do as Christians every day is, number one, to read the Bible, and then secondly, be up on the news so that we might know how to respond to things from the biblical perspective and make a true biblical stand. Well, we want to thank Jim O'Brien for being with us today. Thank the rest of you for being there listening as well. The Lord willing, we will be back again Monday for another Stand in the Gap program. Until then, keep looking up. For we know the best is yet to come.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. we seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.